what your reaction was when you saw the title to the new series of messages, Radical Hospitality. You might have had even a little bit of a negative reaction to that. The word radical has several nuances to it, and some of them aren't really all that good. Radical sometimes talks about an extremist point of view, usually about a political or religious stance. So you've got the radical right, you've got the radical left. That's not how I'm using the term radical in this series of messages. Now, I don't know if it's still true, but it wasn't that long ago that radical also was a slang term, and it meant excellent or cool. So it's like, radical, dude. Right? Now, as much as I'd love even the sliver of a chance to be cool, that's not how I'm using it either. I'm using the term radical back at the root meaning of the word. And radical simply means it comes up from or it comes forth from. So it comes from a different source. So for us, the working definition is this. Radical is something drastically different from the ordinary or the expected, because it has a different source. It rises up from a different spot, all right? So this is what we're gonna use for the series. We're looking at radical, we're not talking extremist here, right? Something drastically different from the ordinary or expected because it has a different source, all right? Hold that thought for a moment. Second word is hospitality. Now, unlike radical, I can't think of any negative connotations to the word hospitality. Hospitality means to be warm and welcoming, to make somebody feel like they're a part of something, right? To make them feel like they're at home. I can't think of anything negative about being hospitable. So we put the two of them together, radical hospitality. That means, where does that hospitality come from? What's at its roots? What does it flow out of? This is what we discover. Radical hospitality is different from the ordinary or the expected because it is rooted in Christ. As we go through the next few weeks, we talk about hospitality, both hospitality that we show to individuals and us as a congregation. This is our working definition. It means that when we show hospitality, our motivation, our words, our actions, they all flow out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the basis for which our hospitality, our welcoming people, that's what it's going to be based on. So this morning, I want to focus in on that. And let's understand exactly what we are rooted in. What we're rooted in is God's radical love. I use the word radical again because His love is different. It flows from a different spot, right? Love for us, for the most part, is transactional, right? I'll love you as long as you love me in return. I'll be your friend as long as you're my friend. You stop being my friend, I stop being your friend. That's how usually relationships work. But that's not God's relationship. God's relationship is I'll love you no matter what. Unequivocally. Whether you love God or don't love God, God still loves you. It's an undeserved love. It's an unconditional love. That's the basis for our whole belief is God's radical love for us. In fact, this is the differentiator between us and all other religions. All other religions. Because Christianity is fundamentally different from every other religion. I don't mind telling you, I bristle a little bit when somebody say, all religions are basically the same. They're all trying to get to the same spot. No, it's not true. We're fundamentally different. You can disagree with it. You can disagree with Christianity. You can disagree with the other religions. But you can't say that they're all the same because they simply aren't. Christianity is fundamentally different. All the world religions are rooted in what we do. Christianity is rooted in what God has done. It's a fundamental difference. All the others are about what we do, but Christianity is about what God has done. Now, I really want to drive home this point, so I'm going to demonstrate this to you. So for instance, Hindus, if we take a look at those, Hindus, they have a variety of gods, and they really don't care which one that you worship. It's only you worship them and you use them so that you can be a better person. So you get reincarnated numerous times, right? And if you live a good life, then you'll come back as a higher being. And if you have kind of a sketch life, sorry, next time around, you're going to be a lower being, right? You keep working at it till finally you're free of this physical life. That's Hinduism, right? It's all about what we do. New Age, that covers a lot of things. But basically, New Age is there are no gods, right? There's no deity, so to speak. There's a higher consciousness that all of us are trying to attain. And so we're trying to develop this inner deity to free us from reality, to attain this higher consciousness. It's all about me. Buddhists, believe it or not, there are no gods. There's no god, there's no deity in Buddhism. Buddhism is that you have endless births until you finally free yourself of sensual desires. You keep working at it each lifetime, more and more and more, till finally you're free of that, and then you've attained some altered state, right? Islam says there's a God, says there's one God, Allah, but he is a strict and powerful judge, and he's extremely demanding upon his people. So you'll be told how to worship, how to pray, when to pray, strict rules to follow. And if you follow all those rules and you do what Allah says, then maybe you hope to attain paradise. But you don't know until you die. Did you do enough? Did you work hard enough? Every one of them is all man-centered. It has everything to do with what we do. Christianity is fundamentally different because Christianity isn't about what we do. It's about what God has done, what God has given to us. It's fundamentally different. Perhaps I can explain it this way. I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and he is Jewish, but he came to faith in his teen years. But he says early on, he struggled a lot because, as he puts it now, he was still under the law of God, still under the things that he had to do. So he was struggling with Christianity and how could he be a good Christian and how could he be good enough and all that. And believe it or not, he heard a guy on the radio, right? Radio preacher. And the radio preacher said this. He says, do you feel like you're climbing a ladder trying to get to God? And some days, you know what? You make it up a couple rungs. Other days, you slip down a couple rungs, but you never make it to the top. He says, because Jesus is at the bottom holding the ladder. Because God came to you. You can't get to God. That's the difference. God came to us. God knew that there was no way that we could make it to him. We couldn't be good enough. We couldn't earn enough. We couldn't make ourselves desirable enough to make it to God. So God came to us. There's a reason that John 3:16 is such a beloved passage, right? Because it's so rich in meaning. Some think it's overused. I don't think it is. I don't think you can overuse these words of Jesus. Let's look at them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Who's doing all the action here? It says, so God loved the world, and God gave his only son. Go on to the next verse. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. All of it is about God loving us, God giving up his son for us, God sending his son for us, and then God saving us. Because this son we know is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, who lived among us, who became one of his own creation. And then, if that wasn't enough, he was obedient to the Father completely, and yet the sin of all mankind, all of the misdeeds, all of the dirty deeds, they were placed upon him. And he took the punishment. And he died. But we know that he rose in victory, but that's a victory that he shares with us. What I'm saying is, from beginning to end, it's all God. It's God's gift to us. It's what God has done for us. So when we talk about hospitality, talk about welcoming other people, right? We're talking about something that flows out of this radical love that God has for us. And God's radical love we can see in Jesus' radical hospitality. His radical hospitality. He welcomed everyone. Again, flowing out of that unconditional love, that undeserved love, Jesus would associate with everyone. In fact, if you were to make a list, here's all the people that any self-respecting Jewish rabbi should never be around, Jesus ticks each and every one of them off. I'd like to demonstrate that to you. Let's just take a kind of a tour of the Gospels, right? Take a look at Luke 14. He said, this is Jesus, but when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. What? I thought I was supposed to invite my friends, maybe my neighbors if they look nice. I'm supposed to, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Yeah, Jesus says you're inclusive. He welcomes all people. How about if we check out Matthew 8? And Jesus stretched on his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. A leper came up to Jesus asking to be healed. There's a reason why the leper colonies were outside of the city. They believed you couldn't even breathe the same air as they did, otherwise you might catch it. Much less you're not supposed to touch them. Jesus reaches out, accepts the man, welcomes the man, touches him, and heals him at that very moment. Let's keep going. How about Luke chapter 5? After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. This is not your average IRS agent, right? Tax collectors in Jesus' day were extortionists, and besides that, they worked for the enemy. The Jews hated the Romans, and the tax collectors worked for the Romans. Jesus says, I want you to be one of my disciples. You go down a few verses, he's at a dinner party, there's a whole slew of tax collectors there. Why? Because Jesus welcomes everybody. How about John 4? It says, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? She's the wrong gender and she's the wrong race. He's not supposed to be talking to women. And no Jew would talk to a Samaritan because they hated one another, and yet Jesus welcomes her, accepts her, and we find out changes her entire life because Jesus welcomes everyone. Now, the next one, the setup is this. A Pharisee, it's a religious leader, calls Jesus over to have a party, right? And then at the dinner, they no sooner get started, this woman from the street comes in. She starts crying and wetting Jesus' feet, wiping it with her hair. Then she anoints his head with oil. Right? The Pharisee looks on, rather disgusted, and he thinks this. If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. That's code language for she is a lady of the night. She's a lady of ill repute. And everyone knew it, including Jesus. But Jesus welcomes everyone. He ends up looking at this woman, forgiving her, and sending her on his way. That's radical hospitality because it flows out of God's radical love. Because Jesus welcomes everyone, even you and even me. Jesus welcomes everyone. He welcomes you on your best day. And he welcomes you on your worst day. He welcomes you when you're on your best behavior. And he welcomes you when you're on your worst behavior. Because that's God's unconditional love. That's the source of his hospitality. Listen to these words of Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You need rest? Did you come in here this morning carrying a burden? My guess is some of you did. Maybe something happened last week. You did something that you can't quite let go of. You said something. Come to Jesus. He welcomes you. You got something going on in the family, something going on with the kids, something going on at school, something going on in relationships. Come to Jesus because he welcomes you. Do you still think that you got to climb the rungs of the ladder to try and somehow get to God? Why don't you just come on down to the bottom because that's where Jesus is. And he welcomes you. That's his kind of hospitality. It comes from a different source. It's rooted differently. It comes from God's unconditional love for you. So in the coming weeks, as we talk about hospitality that we show as individuals and as we show as a congregation, let's keep that in mind. Let's remember what radical means. It's something drastically different from the ordinary expected, because it has a different source. And that source is God's radical love, his unconditional love for us, which means that if we're going to have hospitality, if we're going to be warm and welcoming, we're going to have radical hospitality. Because radical hospitality is rooted in Christ. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, there's nothing about us that would make us worthy or deserving of anything that you have given to us, and yet you have given us everything. You've given us life and salvation in your Son, Jesus. You have loved us with a radical love. And as Jesus welcomed everyone, may we also understand and show that radical love to others and have a radical hospitality which is rooted in him. In his name we pray. Amen.